Now, the rest of the story. He was a shortstop on the baseball team, but not for very long because, well, he just was no good. When Stanford University opened its doors in 1891, he'd been one of the first to enroll, and he did so want to be an athlete. He wanted to play football. Stanford had no team. He tried to play baseball, but in a very little while, they mercifully made him a ticket taker instead. His team would be playing in the open field, no grandstand, no enclosure, so you just had to chase down and take 25 cents away from anybody who got close. Sometimes he had a little help, but too often his student assistants were overcome by shyness or they were too preoccupied watching the game, so it was left to him to do most of the collecting by himself a quarter at a time. The lad who wanted to play football continued to chase dollars, two bits at a time, until that day when there was enough to start putting together the football team of which he dreamed. He scrounged for equipment, he bought second-hand gear and uniforms and one football. His enthusiasm was so contagious, other Stanford students rallied round, began to practice. By now, they're calling their ticket taker their manager, but he was more than that. He was also trainer and coach and water boy. He saw that the uniforms got laundered as often as this luxury could be afforded. Suddenly working like a Trojan, this young Stanford student saw his dream take substance. He saw the raggediest raw material shaped gradually into a Stanford football team. That's when fate intercepted and threw him for a cruel loss, because with everything in him, he tried. And yet it was no use. He couldn't make the grade. He couldn't play on his own team. After all of his hard work, his teammates would have made a place for him, but the lad knew he didn't measure up. However painfully, he must step aside. So the boy who made possible Stanford football was never to play on the team. He sold tickets, he ushered people to their seats, he rushed back to the locker room and helped the players dress and then gave them a pep talk to start him off, and then signed a contract for them to play with the University of California. The idea was absurd. The fledgling Stanford squad against the mightiest team in the West. But he was the coach and he was the manager and whatever. He believed. At the Haight Street Baseball Ground, San Francisco, another problem arose. The youthful manager couldn't confront the crowd with the faded, tattered uniforms they'd salvaged, so he made a deal. He promised the man who made new uniforms a guarantee from the expected gate. They expected 10,000 spectators, printed 10,000 tickets. 27,000 people turned out to see the upstart Stanford take on the proud and powerful California 11, and they won. They won! Stanford's fledgling 11 won. I believe there was never a greater upset in football history, and the boy who made it possible never even saw the game. He was somewhere back there in the crowd seeking seats for those who had no tickets, standing guard over the $30,000 gate, which sent his team on the way to establishing a great Stanford football tradition. Who knows? Maybe the self-sacrificing devotion to duty which this lad displayed when, though he could not do what he wanted, he did what he could, maybe this willingness to serve in any capacity where he might be of greatest value to the team, maybe this experience was what sent the young ticket taker on the way to becoming the 31st president of the United States. For his name was Herbert Hoover. And now you know the rest of the story.